As promised, we are joined now by an NFL Network analyst, also an NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. Charles Davis is my guest. Charles, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me back. Happy holiday season to you and everyone out there.
Happy holidays, my man. Great talking to you again. So you were in Green Bay yesterday to call the Packers-Falcons. First off, what was your sense of the mood around the Packers players the week after the firing of Mike McCarthy?
You know, Jim, it was an interesting deal because, you know, you've been around it a long time and you've seen it from every angle. Some guys are buoyant, joyous, right, that the coach is gone. Other guys are down and depressed because they really like that guy. I'm not going to say it was in the middle here. I think the team overall liked Mike McCarthy. And, in fact, Mike McCarthy asked Brian Gutekunst, the GM, and Joe Philbin, the interim head coach, if he could come back and talk to the team and get closure. And I really think that was one of the best things that worked for both sides. You know, as a reporter, he got the standing ovation. And you know, cynical people said to me, oh, well, of course they give him a standing ovation. I was like, yeah, I've been around ball clubs. If they don't like the guy, he's not getting a standing out.
Sure.
It's kind of like see you on down the road. So I think that worked for both and allowed them that chance to kind of exhale and just go play. And look, they still have a minimal chance of making the playoffs, and they put it together and played well against an Atlanta team that's really going in the opposite direction.
Charles Davis joining us. I want to ask you about the Falcons in 1 minute. What about Aaron Rodgers? How did he look to you overall?
Looked like Aaron for most of the season. He's got these new young receivers, Jim, that he likes a lot. Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown. And he really likes what they're doing and how they're coming along. But as you've watched the Packers over the years, when Aaron does that extended play move, right, the extra play within the play, right, where he goes out, he moves around, he does not like to throw the ball short after he's done that. He does not like to check it down and get an easy completion. He throws to kill. And these young kids are still figuring out how to make themselves available downfield for a big play. And he's used to getting those. He got them with Jordy Nelson, right? He got them when Jermaine Gresham was there and running around. He had them when Randall Cobb was fully healthy. He's not getting those now. So that's a little bit different because, he was accurate as heck. But, Jim, he only threw for 196 yards, 2 touchdowns. We're used to Aaron being closer to 300 every game.
Charles Davis, my guest. I love the way you put that he's not looking to check it down. He throws to kill, which makes that record, right? And that record he broke, Tom Brady's record for most consecutive passes without an interception, is even more impressive. When you think of it that way, he's not checking it down. He's throwing to kill. All right, so what about going forward? Charles Davis, my guest. What about going forward in the wake of that McCarthy firing, and you look at the talent that they have, what kind of a head coach do you think makes sense for them going forward?
A head coach is going to challenge Aaron, and I don't mean it the way that I'm hearing. Like Winston Moss gave the thing about Aaron being the head coach and all that, and someone's got to hold him accountable. It's not just accountable. It's challenging him. This is one of the most intelligent guys you're going to run into. So if you go at him with some half-baked stuff, he's got no time for that. So you've got to have that coach who can meet him that way and have that same type of a mind and be able to say, hey, this is how it's going to go and how it's going to work. And Aaron will fall in line for that. That won't be a problem at all. The other part of it, though, is it's got to be team-wide. It can't just be we've got to get a coach for Aaron Rodgers. You've got to have a coach to coach this ball club because, Jim, they're not that far off. They had a bunch of injuries this year. You know what this league is like. 1 year you're this, the next year you're that. When you look at the guys that they had hurt this year and the youngsters who are coming along, you know that if you look at talent, they're not that far off, that they can be right back with it, especially since your starting block is number 12.
Right. You know, 1 year you're this, and then the next year you're the Falcons. Charles, that you might be what your record says you are, but that talent, that roster does not say the Falcons are a four-win team. What do they look like to you right now? Exactly what's going on with them?
That's where I'm really puzzled as well. Look, the talent, Matt Ryan throwing to Julio Jones, throwing to Mohamed Sanu, Austin Hooper came along at tight end, Tevin Coleman's a heck of a running back. Ito Smith gave him great play as a rookie. The defense, they lost too many guys. All right, Keanu Neal, I thought, could be a defensive MVP candidate this year. They lose him game one. Ricardo Allen, they lose. Deion Jones, they lost for 10 games, right down the line. But the bottom line is that offensive line has got to be retooled. Absolutely has to, because their offense works if you can run the football and throw off of play action, throw off of your bootlegs, throw off of your stretch runs. They don't have that now. No one is respecting that at all. And that offensive line just keeps getting overrun, Jim. So they've got to retool that. Alex Mack is a great starting point at center. He's still a heck of a football player. But to me, everyone else on that offensive line, they've got to take a look at.
Charles Davis joining us.
Actually, let me rephrase that. Jake Matthews at left tackle.
Right.
But Matthews and Mack, other than that, the other three, all those should be up for grabs.
Charles Davis joining us. Now, if we go back a few months to before the draft, when you were looking at this group of young quarterbacks, you made the point that Baker Mayfield is a quarterback who believes, and he will get his teammates to believe as well. Now, it's one thing to do that on the college level, but what do you make of what he's done on the professional level? I mean, this is a guy who's confident with grown men, guys who are a lot older than him. What do you see in him, and how is he doing that?
You know, I love that question because you know Alonzo Highsmith, Jim, right?
Sure. Of course.
Terrific football player, terrific personnel guy. He said something to me about 5 years ago that stays with me. He calls it his home run hitter theory. And what he means is, if a kid, he said, when you see these guys at a major league level that hit home runs, he said, trace their career back, and you know what you're going to find? They hit home runs in Little League, too. That's what they do, okay? So if you have that type of a player, that's what you run with, okay? Now you talk about Baker Mayfield. He inspired people when he was in sixth grade. He's inspiring people on the NFL level. Some people just have it. We call it the it factor, and sometimes that seems to be kind of a cliche. You see how that team's responded to him. It's the same way with the Browns as it was with Oklahoma, as it was with Texas Tech as a freshman, as it was in high school. Some people just have it about them, and he's one of those people.
No, I believe in that it factor, Charles. For instance, it's almost impossible to explain or describe, but you know it when you see it. And he absolutely has it. Now, you had the Cowboys-Falcons a few weeks back, and at that time, Dallas was coming off a win over Philadelphia, which started their five-game win streak. What did you see in them at that time?
I saw a team that finally figured out their identity on offense and were back playing to it. You remember when they drafted Zeke Elliott at 4?
Right.
And, Jim, you know what it's like every year at the draft. Don't draft a running back that high. But they were trying to recreate what they had with DeMarco Murray when they went 12-4. And they had the offensive line to do it, and they did it in the first year, even with a rookie quarterback. Excuse me, they went 13-3 and should have advanced in the playoffs, got beat by Green Bay. So they recreated that on offense. But the biggest thing is, remember all those years we were saying, boy, that Dallas defense is really struggling. Not anymore. They lead with their defense now. And if they get Sean Lee back, now you got three linebackers who are super quality. I don't think you take Leighton Vander Esch off the field. I think you do that at your own peril. He is having a monster year. Jalen Smith is a tremendous middle linebacker. But that defense is really functioning. And Byron Jones has played such a great corner that doesn't get enough credit for it, that people have tried to avoid him. And, Jim, all they've done is throw it to Chidobe Awuzie on the other side, who struggled earlier in the year. Guess what? All those extra targets have seasoned him and made him a better player. That defense plays well. Even the one, you know, look at what they've done down the stretch here. They beat New Orleans Saints 13-10. Who the heck would say that New Orleans would score 10 points in a game?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me. Not me. Not before that game. You know, and to your point, I mean, Sean Lee, right? But yeah. How do you take Vander Esch off the field at all? When's the last time you saw two young backers run to the ball the way he and Jalen Smith do?
It's been a long time, Jim, in terms of that. These young guys, and not only do they run to the ball, but they don't run and overrun plays either. They run with great purpose, they take excellent angles, and they don't miss tackles. And I'm going to throw this one back to you because you're a student of the game. Does Vander Esch not remind you of an era gone by in terms of his size and ability to run as a linebacker?
No doubt.
Because he does not look like today's linebackers. He looks like a defensive end in today's football. Playing linebacker. Like Mike Vrabel with the Tennessee Titans, I did their preseason games. And I remember hearing a guy say, hey, coach, I know you played in the league. What position did you play? And Mike said, linebacker. And they're all like, what? Because nowadays, because of college football, the defensive guy's sizes are cut down. They're smaller. He was a linebacker in the old school sense. Vander Esch looks like that old school. Urlacher is a name that keeps coming up. It's an apt descriptor because of size, ability to run, and the way that they make plays on the ball.
Charles Davis joining us. You know, I do a podcast with Trevor Price every single week, and we talk about this all the time. You know, he last played in the game like 7-8 years ago, and even he marvels at what guys can do now athletically, saying that there's no way. And he was a really good player now, Trevor was.
Yes, he was.
But even he marvels, and he's not one of those get-off-my-lawn type guys. He's like, man, I am blown away by how physically freaky and athletic these guys are. I mean, the game is changing dramatically because the players are, just like that.
They certainly are, Jim, and I do trace a lot of that to the college football system, the spread offenses. You can't have, you know, remember Terrence Cody? Remember
yes,
Mount Cody
yes.
playing the middle? He almost can't get on the field at all anymore in college football because we don't have first down, second down, here comes the next group because teams play so fast. Your 11 that are on the field have to be hybrids. One snap, you're playing a strong safety. Next snap, you're playing free safety. Okay, you're playing an outside linebacker in a certain situation because you can't get off the field and change defenses. So these guys' sizes have been cut down, but their versatility has been increased.
Hey Charles, quickly, you and I have talked about your journey as a broadcaster in the past, but once you're in it and then you've carved out your career as a broadcaster, I'm curious, what's it like when you watch a game that you're not calling?
Jim, it's impossible to watch it without thinking like a broadcaster.
Sure.
It's absolutely impossible. I remember someone told me that when I first got into it. They said, you'll never watch a game again the same way. And I didn't know what they meant, but I do now. You're thinking to yourself, oh, that was, okay, I get that. Oh, and you're listening to the other broadcasters, and you're not stealing as much as you're listening and learning. And I'm telling you, every game I listen to, I learn from everyone that does a game. And you learn as much what you don't want to do as you learn as much as you do want to. And the best thing is to remember, it's got to be you saying it. It's got to be your personality. You can't be someone else because you and I both know the public ferrets that out pretty quickly. Their sniff test is, oh, that guy's a fake. That's not who he is or she, depending on who's doing the game. And that's what you have to remember. But I was getting ready for the Falcons this week and listening to Tony Romo and Jim Nantz. And in the middle of one sequence, it was a fourth down play. Jim was talking about the analytics. And analytics say you should go for it more on fourth down. And Tony, before the snap, said, not if you have a bad offensive line. And the very snap, they get snowed under and have a loss on fourth and one. Boom. And you're thinking to yourself, see, that's him preparing for a game, understanding teams, and being able to put himself out there. You know, and so I try and learn and take from those guys who do things like that, and Tony's not the only one.
Hey, listen, I guarantee people listen to you, Charles, and feel the same way. An NFL Network analyst, NFL Fox analyst as well, and you can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. Charles Davis, my guest. Charles, great to have you back. Thanks so much.